if they're witches, but you know that's implied.
Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
It's episode 100. Katie and the douche.
Yeah, this is our show. I'm the douche.
It's true. You're the douche. Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast, episode 100. I'm Katie Nordgren.
I'm Chris Jeppa, and with us today is...
a different Katie.
No, like, basically one of our favorite local comedians, and we're so happy to have you on episode 100.
Episode 100!
The best for, not the last, but, yeah. Well, maybe if the world blows up.
It's Katie Ellen awesome. Humphreys.
Yay!
Thank you so much for coming.
Absolutely, my
honestly,
pleasure.
The funniest person that I know.
What?
I was like, how do I not spend a whole hour just, like, blowing smoke up your ass about, like, you're so funny and cool.
You're so funny and cool. So what's it like to be this funny and cool?
Well, I tell you what, I'm not excellent at compliments, so it would be tough to fill a whole hour with that smoke, but I'll do my best.
Great, we can talk about more awkward things instead.
Sure.
Sounds good.
No, it's very, very sweet. Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm very excited to be here.
Yay, we're all getting hopped up on the booch.
Yes.
As one must. To celebrate such a momentous occasion.
Cracked open a fresh case of La Croix.
La Croix. I think it's La Croix, actually.
No, it's not. It's if you read it in the French, I don't care what other people say.
In the proper French, which is definitely where that stuff comes from. French.
Yes. I feel like everyone who drinks that I feel like they're very hopeful because I only ever see it in cases. Like, I don't know how everyone just decided that it was good. They just all took a risk on 12.
It only has 8 per case.
All right.
So
that's
they're way more expensive than pop.
Right.
Actually obscenely expensive.
Yeah. Sure. But like it's I didn't understand. Like all of a sudden it was everywhere and everyone was talking about it, but I couldn't fathom how anyone had tasted it without just being like, yeah, I guess I'm in for 8.
In for a penny and for a pound.
Pamplemousse.
I started drinking them because my friend Nikki loves them and she lives in Portland, so every time I go see her, she just has a fridge full of them. Like, and
it does feel like that's where it started.
Yeah, Portland. Yeah, basically. My friend Nikki.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm the one who brought it all back. Yeah, they didn't have it here until like last summer, I think.
Yeah.
And I finally saw it at the Whole Foods downtown and now it's like at all the Save-Ons, which is stupid because it's just water. But I heard someone say that it's just like, it's like angry water and someone shouted the name of the fruit in a room far down the hall.
Yeah.
I was like, that's exactly what it tastes like and that's why I like it.
I'd seen a lot of jokes on Twitter about it before I ever saw it in a store here in Canada. And then, yeah, and I couldn't, it's a real Hamilton cast recording situation where I was like, how does everyone know they like this? I know you haven't seen the show.
Wow. For my life.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's, yep.
But then, of course, yeah, listen, then I bought it and I was like, oh, I get it. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you as a human. So I see now. But it took me a while to just understand. I was like, I know you haven't seen the show. How is it possible that you love the recording so much? And then I did.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, the point of entry was I had pre-ordered the Hamilton mixtape on account of knowing that they had gotten Ashanti and Ja Rule back together.
Yes.
And I was like, well, if I'm going to get in on the mixtape,
I better
get in.
You want that early 2000s collab reminder.
Listen, I'm all about that Ja life.
Where is Ja Rule?
Wherever he damn well pleases.
Who is Ashanti? I don't remember anything beyond her providing a performance in the movie Bride and Prejudice. Did anybody else see that? Was it a fever dream that I had one day? That a Bollywood movie was made in the UK.
Oh.
It seems plausible.
It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's Pride and Prejudice, but it's a Bollywood musical.
What?
With a few white people mixed in for fun. And Ashanti's in it.
These are so many of my favorite things.
Except for the white people,
I mean,
right?
There's a couple, though.
Yeah.
It's like, this seems like the right amount.
Yeah, just a couple. Just a few. Just to flesh it out a little.
Yeah.
I was going to make a, like, rice versus sauce joke, and it just seemed very wrong.
Just maybe slightly racist?
Yeah.
Just a little.
Can I tell you a good story of the community of on the number 20 bus today? It's sort of related.
Oh, God.
Yes, please.
So the number 20 bus is...
which is the worst community at any time that one is part of when you're there.
Like, but this was a very good story.
Oh, good.
So normally the number 20 is a bit of just like a hellscape of a whole lot of different folks, and most people are angry and wet.
Yeah.
But today the community really rallied because there was a really racist lady on the bus.
Ooh. Ooh.
And she made a big show of getting up from the front when a family of presumably, like, folks from the Middle East, and I don't know where they were from, but they were definitely Muslim, with head scarves and things like that, and they had a stroller, right? Mm-hmm. And so then she got up from where you would normally park a stroller and made this huge stink all down the bus. Like, why do I have to get up for these people? And, it's Canada, and we need to stop immigration, and blah, blah, blah. And she gets to the back of the bus, and there was 3 white construction worker dudes that, like, she just started ranting and whatever. And you wouldn't think that these, like, meathead-looking dudes would have said anything, but they immediately were just like, shut up! You're wrong! Your opinion sucks! You are a bad person! And yes! It was so good.
Oh,
and she
God.
Kept going, and they were just like, this one guy was just so chill, he was like, nah, you're just wrong. No, you're wrong. That's racist. No, you're wrong. That's racist, too. Yep, that's also racist. And he just kept going. And then more and more people kind of joined in as, like, a chorus of, like, you're wrong and bad.
You're wrong. That's racist.
And, like, someone said, is this the kind of person you want to be in your life? Which I thought was very insightful. And then she started going on about, like, I'm Canadian and this is, like, immigrants shouldn't come here and blah, blah, blah. And, like, the majority of the folks in the back of the 20 were Native, and they were just all at once were just like, you get off our land! And it was so good! And then she got off the bus, and it was so good. It was like the whole community came together. And I just really liked it that, like, white meathead construction dudes kind of started the, like, shut up, you're dumb, you're racist, get off, you're not welcome here.
Yeah.
None of us agree with you.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was so good. I don't know. That just made me really happy.
That's wonderful. I've ridden it like 3 times in the last 5 years, and it's always the worst thing in the universe is getting on that bus.
I take it every day.
It's terrible, and I'm proud of you. From that spot at Commercial in Hastings,
well,
it's
yeah,
just like...
you just have to wait there for like 20 minutes, and then 5 show up, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
Oh.
Generally, like, the folks on the bus are really, like, nice, but just, yeah, usually cranky and damp. Because that's Vancouver in general.
Cramp.
Yeah.
But I just really enjoyed the like, festive spirit of community to, like, oust this asshole.
At the beginning of that story, I thought that I was hoping that there was going to be a twist, and really she just hates parents. And it was going to be, like, a fun, and she's like, no, no, listen, I'm all for multiculturalism. I just don't think that people
should
have
to get
babies. These people. With
him. Yeah, if you have a baby, you should own a car. Why
yeah,
are you in
that
convenience?
Thought
you?
Has occurred to me, and that's not good. That's classist. It's very bad. It's also ageist. I'm just like, babies don't belong here. They do. I just don't want them there.
That person is having a much harder time on that bus than
oh,
you
yeah.
are.
I guess I just saw this, like, they look like a really affluent couple, and they had one of those Pere Perego strollers or whatever, and I'm like, is this a game to you? It's rush hour and you're going out for dinner with your baby. I was listening to the conversation. I didn't just assume this.
Yeah.
But that's not fair. They're just as entitled to be there as anyone else's.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was just one to share my heartwarming story of how my day has gone.
I'm going to take off this super cool hat because I'm starting to get toasty. You can't see it, but Kitty Ellen and I, same hat.
Yep.
Same hat, same name.
It's the hottest hat in the whole city.
It is a hot hat.
I want to talk about this hat.
It is nominated for a Vancouver Comedy Award of Best Merch.
Oh, someone else is nominated for a Vancouver Comedy Award for Best Joke, I think.
Oh!
I wonder who that is.
Yes.
It's you.
That's me.
And it's that. I voted for that joke. In the nominations, I was like, the gender reveal joke.
Oh, I couldn't have imagined. I was like, who?
I was one, but it must have been like the 40 other people who did it. Mm. Like, really.
That is one of the cleverest jokes.
Yeah.
I enjoy it very much.
Sweetheart.
Oh, we didn't clarify that you're, I guess we did say you were a stand-up comedian right off the top, but
I thought so.
We just didn't mention it again, so I don't know, maybe people forgot.
That's
you
fair.
Do comedy. You're very good at it.
Hey.
Sorry.
Thank you so
I'm
much.
Sorry that I keep complimenting you.
No, it's fine.
Is it?
Yeah, I'll tell you, yeah.
I'm just going to go home and shower them all off.
Like,
stop being nice to me.
Wrap them around me like
yeah,
a
this down is the hour
quilt.
Of, like, it's like a skincare serum. Just, like, let it,
ooh,
like, glow on
soak in.
And, like,
okay.
And then pretend that this is the steam room that you're also in with the serum. I don't know. That's
all the
a lot of...
Yeah, it just gets hot
I
in
just
here.
Really want to go to the spa so bad.
Have you ever been to the Korean spa?
No!
You go to the naked spa? We went together. It was really
ooh.
Awesome. We're the kind of friends who can be nude together, and it's cool.
Oh, yeah, that's...
I don't have many of those.
Oh, I am anyone's be naked around friend.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was a swimmer growing up, and I am just not phased.
Right.
That's awesome.
Like, I would not say that I'm... It's not that I'm so comfortable naked, but I am not less comfortable naked than I am clothed.
Okay. No,
I am
sense.
Uncomfortable clothed as well. Like, I am uncomfortable clothed. And I am uncomfortable naked.
Uncomfortable.
But that makes it, the like, most people are more uncomfortable naked than clothed.
Interesting.
Not so much. I find clothing makes, like, lumps and bumps and stuff, and you're like, eh.
I thought we would
put
it
all out there.
I thought I would just be in my bathing suit the whole time, and I wore it for like the first 20 minutes. And I was like, "This is stupid because I have to keep changing in and out of it. No one wants to put on a wet bathing suit. It's like a terrible feeling."
Mm-hmm. Why do you have to just like explain?
They give you little spa pajamas to go in certain rooms that you can't just be in a bathing suit for.
Or naked.
Or naked. Like there's like a whole room that's just a whole bed of salt with sheets on top of it. And then
that's
you, like,
super hot.
Put on your little spa pajamas that are basically little scrubs, and then you lie on the sheet, and then the salt sucks all the wet out of your face.
What?
Yeah, and then you just turn into a mummy, and then you go back into a steam room, and then you rehydrate everything with, like, fresh water.
Yeah, hot pool, cool pool, steam room, sauna, dry sauna, they've got scrub stations, you can get massages and stuff, but it's $20 to go, and you can spend the whole day there if you want.
What?
It's ball. It's called JJ Spots in Coquitlam. It's not that far from Braid Station.
Oh, that is a downside, but okay.
Yeah, it is. It does suck, but it's so great. There's the charcoal room. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's ionic when you go in there. I don't fucking know what that means, but I'm like, yeah, I feel the ions.
Yeah.
I really feel like the ions entering me. Oh, that's not a good phrase. Entering you. There's also a yellow earth room. It's so crazy. I don't know what all of it does, but it's amazing. And you can buy anything in the front. To start with, like, if you want to eat ramen noodles halfway through your experience, you can just do that.
Oh, man, this sounds the kind of thing I would talk about doing forever, but probably never get around to doing.
Yeah. Yeah, we did it once, and we're always like, we should go back, but then it's like, it's a whole day commitment.
It is a whole, yeah. I
barely could drive
home. I have 3 float tank gift certificates. I have never float tanked. Tanked?
I have never float tanked.
Floated tanked. Tanked. Oh, boy.
I like it.
I've never floated in a tank.
That seems like a really nice idea. Are you into the, like, sort of woo-woo spa thing, like, in theory, but just not in practice, or?
Yeah, I'm very into it in theory. Like, getting around to things is not my strong suit, unless those things are work. I get around to that, but outside of work.
You've got the hustle, but then the counterbalance of the maybe self-care relaxation.
Yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of Netflix, but, like, actually going
like
to
a
place.
For your brain.
Yeah, I think so.
Unless you watch, like, 5 episodes of Black Mirror back-to-back, in which
case
it's not that thing.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
No, I don't want it.
No.
I don't want to.
Mm-mm.
No, thanks.
Nothing scary or that I have to concentrate very much on.
No, I pretty much just put on, like, any of the food travel shows that are on there and just, like, dick around in my bullet journal. Play with my gross pets. Yeah.
So how gross are they?
They're rats.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, pretty gross.
Pretty gross.
I mean, I guess. I am terrified of rodents, and yet I understand that, like, people's pet rodents are cute and can be.
No one has to like them. It's fine. Chris said she was going to hate them forever, but then she got drunk and looked at them and cried a little.
They were really cute.
I mean, they still would have their tail. Like, if I could
see
them.
I just put, like, a sock on their tail.
I would not have to see their tails. I don't know.
Put a cozy on it.
If they were.
Tie it up like a bun.
They could wear little mermaid fins that you could crochet for them.
Yeah. Yep. You are speaking my language now.
Okay,
so cute.
Okay.
So you just crochet little, like, skirts for them with the little fins. And then
Yeah.
Okay, I'm commissioning one.
And then, especially if they were doing, like, human stuff with their hands. Because, like, I watched that rat showers like a human video.
It's like a paracana.
30
is
times.
That. It's a rodent, but it's a South American rodent called a paracana.
Oh, my God, Katie.
The shower rat is a paracana?
They're big. They're, like, this big.
That doesn't make it better.
No, but rats have really short arms, so they wouldn't be able to do the things that animal was doing. So I was like, it looks like a rat, but I don't think it's a rat. So I did some more research on it. But yeah, no, my rats,
nerd,
they self-clean like an oven. They smell really nice. They smell like candy.
That seems far-fetched.
It does. I know. Don't worry. They'll be dead soon.
What are their names?
Freya and Minerva. Aww. Of course, I named them after, like, goddesses of wisdom and war for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very on brand for myself.
I have never had a pet.
Not even once as a kid?
Fish.
Doesn't count.
It does not count.
They are basically like an advanced plant.
Yeah. So it's very hard. I find it difficult to connect with.
You're not an animal person.
Correct. And the idea that people have them in their homes, I find very difficult to understand.
Chris is similar.
I like animals, but I have developed really bad allergies.
Right.
So that kind of has hindered it. And yes. Now when I think about it, I'm like, oh, I could get this kind of dog that doesn't have allergies. I'm like, I don't want to touch its poop. Ever. Even yeah. through the plastic bag is, like, the most horrible sort of feeling. Like,
you want to give birth to a person.
I know, but they learn how to deal with that stuff, like,
that makes perfect eventually. Sense to me.
After, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not forever. Like, a dog can live for, like, 20 years, and you have to always touch his hot, hot poop.
Yeah.
There are people... Okay,
that's one of my favorite bands that came out of Victoria.
We were walking in the North Shore woods, like, near Rice Lake, and there's so many people that have, like, the little biodegradable doggy bags,
uh-huh.
and they go to the whole trouble of picking up the hot poop and, like, tying it into the thing, and then they just leave it on the trail.
I did not know that those bags were biodegradable, because similarly, anytime I see one, I think, mm-hmm. what is this for? Mm-hmm. Why did you bother?
Why are you like this?
Yeah, some
but
of the bags
also
are
when I am walking around Vancouver and I see someone walking their dog and then I just see them carrying such a bag, I think, you are carrying shit right now. We all know.
Someone yelled at me once when they had a bag of shit in their hand. I was like, you have no authority here. And I bow to any authority, but not yours, Miss Poop Hand.
Ooh. I had some gut health stuff at one time, and I got a lot of...
You're in the right place.
A lot of sure. I mean, it's a, yeah, very common thing that happens. Anyway, but I was getting a lot of tests done at one time in my life, and particularly a lot of stool sample style tests. So very often, I was walking, like, a 10 block...
With your own shit.
With my own shit in my purse, which I just thought was hilarious the whole time. Because I could never stop thinking about how weird it was that that was the case. And always, like, kind of wanted to get mugged, which I've never... It's the only time I've ever sort of wanted that fantasy. And I imagine it would still be traumatic, but I would always know
that
they're, like, rifling through my bag in addition to just, like, I don't know, loose chiclets and shit. And just be like, what is this now? Oh, my God!
This is making me think of who... Chris, you remember, who's the comedian who has the bit about having to jerk off in his car to give, a sperm sample?
I don't know, I hate it.
You
hate it? I hate it already.
I thought it was Pete Holmes. It was someone like that who's affable but kind of gross. Mm. And I'm getting that confused with my dad having a story about having to give a sample and then showing up and having the clinic be closed. So I just threw this lunch bag full of jizz in the dumpster. My father didn't use the word jizz. He just said my sample.
Aww.
I was like, that's not better, Tad. But you yourself know the charms of John Nordgren. He's very fond of you.
Very fond of him.
Oh, he'll be tickled to hear that.
Aww. Oh my goodness. Yeah, we're Twitter friends.
He will like everything you ever post on Twitter and you will feel so supported.
Yeah, that is exactly what is happening.
He likes all of my female friends' tweets, and I'm just like, I hope people realize that this is not meant to be creepy in any way.
I have never taken it to be such.
That's good. He just wants to be a father to all daughters.
Yeah, well, and I'm very into it.
Cool. Great. Yeah, he's a good guy. Love John.
Mm-hmm. Mitch.
Hi, Dad.
You know that my father's name is also John.
That's funny.
And our name.
Katie.
I mean, those are both wildly common, but...
Your mom's name is?
Joan.
Oh, that's Brenda. You have John and Joan?
Yeah, but I call my parents Big John and the Misses.
I've heard you call him Big John on podcasts before.
Yeah.
How big is he?
You know, he's a big man.
Give me dimensions?
No. You're asking for your dad's measurements?
How much volume does,
like,
he displace in,
like,
a cylinder of
water?
It's
not an ironic nickname.
Okay,
it's
cool.
Not like he's a big dude.
Just because you're fairly small.
My mother is a teeny little bird woman. Yeah, so it's so
that's
tiny.
Rough. Oh, you have siblings too, or
yeah?
Are they of normal size? Or
yeah, they're both normal. They're tall human men.
I'm just thinking about your mom's well-being.
Oh yeah, she's so slight. I don't know how she did it.
Good job.
Right.
Good job, Joan.
She's sturdy. Tell you what.
You gotta be.
I was thinking a lot about, like, what are some questions that I would... Because I'd like to know more about you, but, like, what, like, I don't know. You had this character that was very, like, 90s teen slash, like, getting out of high school and then never moved on character at one of the lady shows.
Oh!
And it reminded me so much of so many people I knew in high school.
Hey, don't ever change.
Yeah. That was really very good.
Some people take
sad.
It too literally.
Yeah, exactly. and was wondering if you had, because you had sort of like a raver outfit with the, like, did you do raver stuff in high school, or were you like,
I didn't at all. I picked up
some flavors of like teen angst that I related to a lot.
Yeah, I feel that was like a very, it was like a sliding doors version of myself. Uh-huh. Of like, so in fact, at that time in my life, in like high school and my younger years, I was I really just wanted to be like my older brother, and I was very masculine. And so that was like that character in particular, and the costuming and things was like what I imagine I would have looked like in the 90s if I had been more aware that I was a gal. Not appropriating any trans experience. I knew that I was female, but I didn't behave in any such way that would indicate that. And I didn't really dress.
I bought all of my clothes from Costco. The men's section.
Yeah.
Kirkland Signature jeans.
Yeah, I just wore like a lot of Umbro shorts and like baseball jerseys.
Tearaways.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So fun at the end of the day, like, ugh, what a day I had.
Yeah.
It's great. It's like taking off doffing your cap and hanging up your beautiful blazer and then just rip.
That was the era I was in high school, though. So, like, certainly when I was in grade 11, I think, like, rave culture was really big in my school. Mm-hmm. And it was like, LaCroix? What are you saying? LaCroix?
Sure, yeah, LaCroix.
Like, that was the same. I just had no sense of what other people, what other kids were doing. And then all of a sudden, just everyone was wearing these
soothers and jinkos.
Yeah, totally. And like the arm full of the
candy bracelets.
Beaded bracelets and giving them one another. And like they're all going God knows where on the weekends. And I was like, I just don't even have any connect. Where?
We're going out to a field in Abbotsford.
Totally. And I didn't know how any of them like found out about any of this or how, why. And I assumed that they were pretending to like the music because I could not see how possibly they were enjoying it. I didn't understand drugs.
It was a mystery.
Sure. Yeah.
No, my one of my best friends in high school, still one of my dearest friends today, Jasta, she was the biggest rave kid. Like, she loved to rave, and I was just, like, her incredibly square friend who was like, don't do drugs!
Right?
Don't do E! Because they called it E then.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Now it's just MDMA or Molly. We called it E.
It's a
X.
Different thing. E has speed in it, Molly doesn't.
I said so.
I was a raver kid.
I know. But she did. She went to all of those things, and they were like web forums for them. Like,
right, yeah.
And so people would sort of organize that way. They'd organize trips out to, like, for some reason, a lot of them were in Chilliwack or Abbotsford or
right
out in the boonies where there's farmland and big barns and shit. So mm-hmm.
We like had raves at like the Duncan Community Hall. I'm from the Sunshine Coast, and so we would take like a bunch of people that would drive up to, like, Powell River, you take the ferry over to Comox, and then drive down to Duncan for it's a long-ass drive, or you'd go the other way through the city, which was, like, less preferable, because you couldn't, like, drive with a carload of, like, too many people in the car.
Right.
And then you just rave at, like, the community hall in Duncan that, like, presumably other people used on weekends at some point, but it's like, why are all these old couches here? How is there a huge fire pit out in the back? Like, it was just extremely, like,
loosey-goosey?
Loosey-goosey forever. So maybe that's just, like, small-town life. Like, we have this in the Roberts Creek Hall, too, but there was more rules where you had to be out at a certain time and blah, blah, blah. But certain places, it's like, I guess we rave
no
Duncan because no one gives a shit.
I call it Duncan for a reason.
I have gone to one rave. I went to
a single rave.
An early morning sober rave.
Ooh. Oh, I heard you tell the story.
Probably, because those are all words that appeal to me greatly, particularly the early morning part.
Uh-huh.
And it was during my first trip to New York, and so I'd seen this Facebook post going around. People were like, "Oh my God, that's so cool!" And it was like, lined up dates wise with when I was going to be there, which I thought was just meant to be. And I was so excited. And I'm envisioning, because again, it's my first time in New York, so I was envisioning that it was going to take place in, like, an abandoned streetcar or something crazy. Because I get up super early in the morning, and I take the subway out from, like, Manhattan to Williamsburg. And I was like, I'm going on this big adventure. And I show up at, like, 6 a.m. And I was like, oh, it's the gym. It's just good marketing for the gym. And I felt like such a room. I was like, okay, I guess. I mean, it was still very fun. That's a lovely way to start the day.
With a rave?
Like an aerobics class?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, it was just longer, like, it was in a space that just was a gym, but then they had a DJ, and, like, and people were...
Mimosas, sir.
Yeah. And, like, no, more like smoothies and stuff. Mm-hmm.
So this is really the perfect rave for you.
It was perfect. That's although so I will nice. Say that there was, like, a definite changing of the guard, like, because it went from about, I think it went from, like, 5:30 a.m. to 10 or something. But so...
Just in time for church.
Yeah, well, in a weekday, so like 8.
Oh my God. Catholic church.
But like 8:30 or so, the people who like go to that gym in the mornings typically before work started to leave and like get dressed and leave and go to work, and they are just like, what a nice way to start the day. But there's, you know, it's Williamsburg, so there's all these kids who like just have trust funds and stuff and don't do anything, and they had arrived a little later, and they were not. Sober.
They had probably come off of another party.
This is just, this is yeah, and like hours. They're kind of arriving more like the 9 a.m. to like 10 a.m. and then it was like a much different vibe. I'm like, oh, it's way too light for you to be grinding like that in here.
Daytime grinding is not comfortable.
Right?
Like, I feel like you have to be under the cover.
There's like
dark.
A yin yoga class that you can see going on. You're like, what are you doing?
They're trying to open up their chakras, and you're over here trying to open up someone's trousers.
Yeah.
That's bad. I'm sorry. I don't even know how yin yoga works, even though it's the only kind of yoga I've ever done, because it's slow. Don't go too quickly. I don't want to sweat.
Yeah. Unless you're in, like, a Korean spa.
And I really want to sweat, yeah. If I'm wearing somebody else's weird, over-bleached scrubs, then, yeah. I definitely want to sweat in them. It creates a layer between me and someone else's sweat. You always look at me so disappointedly.
I know. I wish you were more comfortable with your body. That's all. It's okay to be sweaty. I've been going to hot yoga, so I know.
I don't know if you know this, Chris, but bodies are disgusting.
Sure.
They're so bad.
They're so cool, though.
They get all wet and they smell.
My favorite thing about hot yoga is looking at people's bodies. They're so neat.
They can move in all kinds of weird shapes.
That person has 4 butt cheeks.
Yeah. Yeah, butts make is a big wish. Part of it.
The 4-lobed butt. Butts are a big part of yoga. I've been enjoying the studio that I've been going to. I went to a fitness class yesterday that was like, it's yoga and like aerobics with weights kind of thing. And so I went to one and it like murdered my body because I've never done that before.
Uh-huh.
And the woman running the class like was pretty sadistic in, she was really like, I love seeing you guys suffer. Like, she said that out loud, but, like, in a fun way. And it was
in a fun way. I don't care for that.
Yeah. So, but luckily, like, the culture of the studio is that no one's really, like, a fitness competitive person or, like, an extremely fit person. It's all just, like, East Van scrubs like me and a lot of, like, older South Asian ladies that just really love the heat and they're just basking in the heat.
Yeah.
And so they just kind of do whatever they want. And some of it's part of the class and some of it's just lying on the ground or some of it's doing something different. And so everyone kind of has the, like, the freedom to just go at your own pace.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice. And so when this woman was, like, it was one of her first classes that she had done at the studio. And she's like, okay, well, if one of you stops, then we're going to keep going for, like, 15 more seconds. And everyone in the class was like, no. And she was like, okay. So she's like, I guess you can take a rest if you want to. Like, she's used to working, like, somewhere that's more, like,
sure.
Boot camp, you know?
Push
well,
it.
Well, yeah, some people I'll love that.
Real good. No, I hate tough love.
Me too. I came out of athletics into comedy. I was a, you know, an athlete prior to this. And so I came out, like, from the time I was a kid. I, like, one of my first coaches, I remember his phrase that he used to say all the time was, pain is your friend.
Mm.
And so I really come from this, like, very self-disciplined, like, push yourself. And, like, and it really became to be equated with, like, moral value as well. Oh, of, like, you know, the
if you suffer for it.
Totally. Like, you, and because it, and it's kind of how I was raised.
Overcome
of, like,
your body, basically.
Well, and kind of like, oh, aren't you good? And, like, you know, that dangerous stuff like that. And so I will also, and I push myself very hard, so I do not need, and it's, like, the work that I have done as an adult is to, like, stop punishing my body that way, of, like, I need to find a lot more balance, because also, yeah, like, if you pose any kind of challenge, I'm like, well, yeah, I can do more push-ups, and then, like, whatever, like, I can't, it's a big problem, so I'm doing so much work anytime I'm in a class to actively, like, not sign up for, like, the fitness challenge or, like, the whatever it is. I'd be like, do I get a gold star now? So I do not need, like, I definitely need to, like, do your own, like, listen to your body, yeah, like, that kind of thing.
Different modifications that you can do.
Oh, my God, yeah. Follow the Chris plan for sure. You'll be listening to your body in no time flat.
What does that mean?
Nothing sinister at all. You're just very much in tune with yourself. You like being in your body. Like,
yeah.
Having it and working with it.
But I'm trying to, like, have a little bit of push myself because I'm very much like, it's hard, I'm quitting.
Ah, yeah, we need, like, we both have some balance to find.
Exactly. Yeah.
But in neither case do we need to, like, push it, ladies!
The ladies kills me.
Yes. Whoa. It's also a very mixed gender class, even for, cool. like, the fitnessy class, which nice. I thought was very cool. So I've been enjoying the environs, and it's, like, in a sauna, so it's pretty nice.
Yeah. That is dope. Yeah, and I love my gym very much. It's, there are definitely competitive people there, but nobody's in competition with each other. There are no fitness challenges. There's, like, who can bring in the most canned goods at Christmas or something like that.
Oh,
like,
that's really cute.
I like it.
Or it's, like, if you bring in a certain amount or you donate a certain amount, then all of the coaches have to deadlift, like, a kilogram for each dollar or whatever that you post. And at first it was like, oh, they'll do it all in one, and then they were like, oh yeah, no one can lift 800 kilograms. Like, that's not gonna work. Right. But so they would do it in like 200s or whatever.
That's really not the right attitude.
Why don't you just get stronger, you puss?
Yeah.
No, but I love it. It's a great place for me because they push me just enough. Because I've said this on the pod before, but like, it costs enough that I can't justify not going. So, and it's very personal. Like, I get 3 personal training sessions a month, and it's all specifically tailored to my bod, so I like it a lot, and my butt's really strong now.
Dope!
Very dope. I can control each lobe independently. Can you see?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sad for all of you that this is a visual medium and you don't get to see Katie's lobe work.
You didn't get to see Katie Ellen's amazing dance before she walked in the house either, which was like a modified robot. It was very elegant and chill. I liked it very much.
I got moves.
She has moves. Mm-hmm. In your space age jacket that you got from Forever 21.
Yeah.
Shiny. Yeah. Shiny. You look like you're in a Backstreet Boys video.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. They're my favorite.
A number of people have also mentioned that it is similar to some attire from a Missy Elliott video. So also all murdered. In all, I'm just like, I'm really, really pleased just
murdering
with the feedback
that 1999-2000 vibe.
Yes.
That millennial.
Well, partly vibe. It's funny you were talking about because I didn't dress like a teen girl when I was a teen girl at that era. And so now that fashion is coming back, I am just leaning all the way in.
Yeah. You gotta have gotta have some plaid flannel tied around your waist or something like that.
Yes!
You got the sick ass, the cap, which we started talking about and then failed to continue talking about.
Yeah, I've got bodysuits going. I'm getting it.
With like the snaps in the crotch?
You're lucky. Some don't have the snaps.
You just gotta pull it to the side.
No, I just gotta like get fully naked every time.
Yeah, basically.
It's like, well, here I am at a restaurant in the bathroom, nude like a psycho.
A romper. Oh, okay. So I'm thinking when you say bodysuit, I'm thinking like just the long sleeves that snap in the crotch.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just like, okay, so that is what you're
But
talking
they don't
about.
All have snaps. Like, snaps is key.
I'm too long bodied to have ever worn those in my life
there you
because
go.
I danced very briefly as a child, and even as a 6-year-old child, I was very tall through the torso.
Dope.
And I would get in there and I'd snap it shut, and then they would just snap open and smack me in the face, which is not great when your crotch comes up to meet you that quickly.
Not great.
Not great. I was like, I hate this. I don't want to do this anymore.
Oh no, I'm just like waist and then like an inch after that is my tits. There's like no body to speak of. Yeah. So bodies is just like there's ages.
So overrated.
So much room.
You don't need that much room for your intestines.
Apparently not.
You can live inside of your rib cage and stuff like that.
It's probably a lot easier to poop into a jar if you're short.
Well, I had no problem carrying around my purse either.
That is fantastic. So the hat, I have it written down and then underlined because of the hat.
Sure.
These hats, the lady show hats, they are, sorry, there's only one other snapback hat, I think, that is a piece of merchandise in Vancouver Comedy. It's the new Little Mountain Gallery hats.
Yeah, also a dope lid.
Also a pretty dope lid, but same with they have the green, the brim. So they, for me, the way I wear a hat it would look exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm fairly tall, so no one can see the top unless I bend down like a gentleman. Ah. Which, of course, I do all the time.
As a petite lady and I wear the limb pretty low, it's just like I feel invisible. It's just my face is obscured and I can't see anyone's eyes. And I'm like a child that way. I'm like, if I can't see their eyes, obviously, I'm invisible.
I'm invisible. I can't, I'll just take this comically oversized lollipop for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I heard you say something about how it felt like coming home when you put the hat on the first time. Like, it just, like, was the cap, like, the literal cap on your outfit.
That's right. So, yeah, so I am a co-producer of The Lady Show, which is a live show here in Vancouver where
with Past-guest Morgan Brayton.
That's right, Past-guest Morgan Brayton.
Who we love.
Yeah, and the show is a, it's a variety show or sketch and stand-up and character work and some collective, large musical numbers and things like that, mm-hmm. all with a focus on intersectional feminism. And this hat is a flat brim black cap. And yeah, absolutely. I believe that this hat made me the person I was always supposed to be.
You're like Frosty the Snowman. Yeah, it brought you to
really,
life.
Really coming to my own. It
must
turns
have been
out
some magic.
Yeah. It turns out this is who I was supposed to be.
How is that? I've never been a hat person, so I don't understand, but
it brings that the youthful boyishness back into
that's
things
what it
from,
is. Yeah,
from
yeah.
your youth.
I've always been a hat person, but I used to wear more like vintage 40s pillbox things.
Well, you'd probably look great with victory rolls.
Yeah, it's a lot more work though.
Yeah, I would never do it.
But that is honestly, that was my look on stage for quite a while. To the extent that someone recently asked me if I was going to do that character I used to do again. And it took me the longest time and they were like, yeah, we're like kind of a throwback. And yeah, this was getting like, yeah, munitions factory worker. And I was like, oh, no, that was just me. That's just how I talk.
Oh, my goodness.
If you were to do that again, you just have to throw on like a mid-Atlantic accent to like, oh, why, I never.
Well, that's right. Yeah. I used to talk, I had some jokes and stuff to kind of address how I was dressed and things. But that's just how I felt most confident. But it is a lot more work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, high fam is hard.
Yeah. I like to get dolled up and whatnot. But yeah, ever since I got this cap, I can really... wear sneakers on stage now.
Nice.
It's a new life. It's
good.
Interesting.
I got Tessa bought me, my wife bought me a crop top that says Tomboy Femme. I was like, that's my gender for sure. Or Gentleman Mom is the other one that I am.
Oh, those are both so great.
Yeah, no, they're both very accurate because I'm like 20% a boy, I think. Not gender wise, like I'm totally a cis woman, but I'm a little bit of a boy.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, just like a dirtbag kind of vibe. I got a real dirtbag inside of me.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
I relate to that.
That's the smoke weed eat Doritos kind of person. Yeah.
Smoke weed eat Doritos. Yeah, exactly. And the hat really, it brings it. When I wear it all the time when I wear athletic wear. I wear it to the gym and I'm like, this is a power hat. This hat makes me feel strong. This hat makes me feel invisible to men. Which
yeah,
is
yeah,
great.
Yeah. I wore a fly brim cap to the sober rave, mm-hmm. and when I got to the door and realized I was at the gym, I was like, oh, right. And then the gentleman at the door, you know, Williamsburg gym guy, was like, hey, look at that hat. And I was like, hey, look at that statement. That's almost a compliment. Like, I'm not already uncomfortable enough here.
It's 6 a.m. and I'm at a day rave at the gym.
Yeah, I flew across the continent. Not specifically for this, but still, I've come a long way.
Yeah, be cool, man.
Alone, 6 a.m. Oh, good.
When did you, was the morning person thing like something that came out of being an athlete, or is it just you?
It's impossible to know because I started swimming when I was 9, so I imagine that it wasn't there, mm-hmm. but there's really no way to tell because I was barely a human before. But yeah, so from the time I was quite young, so from like 13 on, would be getting up on the regular at 4:30 in the morning. And so, yeah. And I think now that, I think it might just be naturally that is where my rhythms reside, because that is
Acadians.
Yeah, that's where I feel the most productive and the most tuned in, and which is not appropriate for comedy.
I was
at
gonna say
all.
It doesn't really seem to jive with actually
no.
shows and things.
No, like. I have one time got to do stand up comedy at 6:30 in the morning, and I was a completely different performer.
that was at the keynote, right?
Yeah,
the...
so animated, I was just so full of life.
You're pretty fucking animated at like 11 o'clock at night when you're on stage.
I guess,
but we
this
all
one
know you're
was
faking
just, like,
it.
Next level. Yeah. Well, you know, I've got to get hopped up on the kombucha.
Was there, yeah, you do. Was there anybody there at that time, or?
Yeah, it was pretty decent, actually. There was, like, wow. At least 40 people or so.
What? At 6 a.m.? Like, I can't fill a room of 40 people on, like, a normal night sometimes.
I know, and some of them had been there all night.
Wow.
You know, I was on top of the world because I had slept all night, and I had just gotten up, and it was summer, and, like, just so gorgeous, and everything. I was on top of the world. One of the best days of my life.
Hmm. So good to start with comedy. There's not many opportunities to do that.
Yeah. Enough that it almost inspired me where I the kind of person who was like, oh, yeah, I have room to take on another thing.
Yeah, start like a croissant and comedy kind of
right?
thing.
Right? Like a breakfast pre-work.
No, I don't know.
No. Not everything has to be a portmanteau, Katie, but it could be. Coffee, croissants, orange juice, all those things could totally pair.
Orange juice.
All right.
You but fuck off.
All of those things could pair really nicely with comedy, like getting it out of that nightclub, like everyone has to be like drunk and belligerent. It's like, how about attentive and polite?
Brunch comedy in Portland, because it's Portland.
Seattle used to have a brunch.
There's actually quite a few, especially like one-offs.
Comedy Cellar's got like a 1 p.m. on Sunday brunch show.
Yeah. No, it's, I have more fun doing it there than anywhere else, I'd say, just because they have a more variety of shows. Like,
yeah,
it feels like almost every show is the same here in terms of how it's run and
mm-hmm.
the way that it's run and the type of people they're trying to serve. Because we're mm-hmm. often, I think, trying to hit not the lowest common denominator, but just like the most common denominator
to get actual people to come to your stuff.
So you want to appeal to as broad an audience as possible, but by trying to be broad, you turn away like a specialty audience, which can be way more intensely devoted, like mm-hmm. like Foxhole
or like the Lady Show.
Yeah, or like the Lady Show.
The Lady Show sells out pretty much every single time,
and it's usually when I go, it's like I see like familiar faces every single time. It's like, oh, my friend this, my friend there, yay. Like,
yes,
it's really nice. And it's always at the like always kind of, not that you're not attracting new people, but I like that there's a lot of repeat customers.
Yeah, really nice. One interesting thing is that I usually ask off the top, like, who has been to the Lady Show before and who is the first time. And like, across the board, it is almost always 50% return, 50% new. It is perfect, except it never grows. Like, it's all, because, like, it's just, it's the same amount of people every time.
Yep.
Because sometimes, like, you know, regulars can't make it, but there's always new people to make that up.
Mm-hmm.
But it never, you would think that at some point there'd be some exponential growth with, like, new people coming. But it always seems to be, like, it just evens out around the same number.
Mm-hmm.
And there's usually about, and it just is always, like, 50% new people and 50% return.
Interesting.
Well, measuring by applause is a difficult metric.
No,
it's
super
scientific.
No. If I, any comedy contest I've ever been. Yeah. The applause meter is infallible.
I did a one-hitter quitter, like the finale show, like with all the winners from the previous 12 months getting together and competing. And Steve Letts won the one I did. And he brought, like, 40 people to Seven Dining Lunch. Like, you didn't need to do that. You would have won anyway, because you simply are the funniest one out of all of us.
Amazing.
But I brought nobody, so.
Just going to leave that to chance.
Yeah. Why not? Like, I mean, you can get $100.
And, you know, notoriety, I guess.
Eh. I forget who won anything.
Yeah.
Ever. Except Gavin Matz.
But just back to the Lady Show, I wonder if it's, like, the new person then brings another new person, and they're so excited because they went the last time that they buy their tickets really fast.
Maybe.
Like, I wonder, because you guys sell out pretty quickly usually, too.
Well, now since we've moved to the larger venue,
oh, yeah.
we've got room to accommodate, so it's not, we don't run into the same issue we did when we were at Little Mountain Gallery. So we now perform at the Redgate Review stage on Granville Island. So, yeah, it's not, don't have the same people, there's not the same urgency in terms of selling out. So if anyone was ever thinking of coming and they thought, you know, it'll probably sell out, I'm not going to risk it by showing up at the door, show up at the door.
Nice.
Come on out to the Red Gate.
Granville Island's a little off the beaten path, like, for
transit and stuff.
Yeah,
certainly. It's a destination viewing this time, but
it's fun, though.
The theater is so nice.
It's so nice.
Like anything, it'll probably do really well once it gets a little nicer out and people, like, I'll just wander down to Granville Island.
Yeah, because then it's like, I'll go to Granville Island, grab some dinner, and then go see a show. Like, make it an evening.
Yeah.
You could make a night out of it.
You could take the little ferry there.
That's true.
Take the little dinky boat.
Have a little boat.
You guys should have a little promo video of, like, on the little ferry.
I mean, there's a lot of things we should have.
I shouldn't have said shit. Sorry.
I've gotten really into the idea of variety shows lately. Like, I love The Lady Show very much. I want to get more involved there. And just telling you, like, I want to get more involved there. And we're looking at doing, like, a one-off with my friend Nicholas, who is the singer of the Dreadnoughts. And so he's, like, the music side, sort of. He's really tapped into that audience. And then, like, I know comedians, and you know both. So... it's a pretty pretty good cohort to throw something up there. But we, because Nick and I went to see Paul Anthony's Talent Time, which I'd never been before. And it was the last one.
What a gift.
It was so funny. And he did an intro video, I guess. And it's one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen, where he's just like flying through the air to try to get to Talent Time on time.
Paul Anthony is so extraordinary. And what he has built with that show is just so special, and there's such an energy during the show. And one of the things from the get-go, when it used to be at the Biltmore, even one of the things I always was struck by is that there's just such sincerity in it. And the audience, particularly starting out, now the audience is much more varied, but starting out the audience was very deep hipster, and at that era of hipsterdom too, they're just drenched in irony.
Yes.
You know, nobody took anything seriously. And then Paul would source these performers who
are so deeply sincere.
Yeah. And it would be so beautiful. And it would be maybe the only moment of sincerity that most people in that audience experience for the month.
Like, could you actually see the layers falling away, like, by looking at their faces, kind of? Like, and just seeing their response?
Well, because I think, and when people would be introduced, you know, whether it be, like, an accordion player or, like, a tarot card reader or whatever they were doing, or, like, a cowboy poet or something like that. Like, everyone you could see, like, this is going to be hilarious.
Who's doing that character? Do we recognize, like, blah, blah, blah? Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Like, but then you'd be like, it's not hilarious. It's just beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's
just someone whose heart is so legitimately in something, presenting something for you here, in this moment, in this space that we're all in together, that we're only in this second.
It's such a bait and switch, because you think it's going to be ironic and silly. And then you're like, oh, we're dead serious about this child contortionist.
Yeah.
And she's super good.
She's so good.
She's so good. Very good stage presence. 10 years old. Delightful. Forgot her name.
Oh, my goodness.
But we were talking about the old fella that he has come up to sing sometimes. I think his name's Harry. And he sang this beautiful tune called Vancouver, My Heaven.
Yeah.
And I was just like... I just love... there's something about an old man singing warbly and unaccompanied to... a room of angel-headed hipsters, you know? It's just, like, such a beautiful thing. And, yeah, it was wonderful. And I love that there are still things that are trying to do that in the city. Because it sort of seems like sometimes we're just like, what about this idea? Will this get people in the door? But it's like, if you actually build something that's really sincere and really, like, serious about being entertaining and loving, then people will come. Because we're all very hungry for that, I think. Even if you're like, well, I just don't even care. Like, I don't even think about these things. Yeah, you do.
Well, and I think it depends. Like, sometimes people will say, like, you know, it's very difficult to pair something like music with comedy. Or it's like, you know, it's tough to be a musician, or pardon me, a comedian following a musician. Because, you know, a musician is able to access such deep feeling in such an immediate way that it's, like, very challenging to do as a joke teller. And so it can be tough as pairing. But I think there's something to be said for when you're booking these things, if you find a common note between the acts, even if they're doing wildly different things, and usually it is just, like, it's some sort of grain. We were talking on the way over here about, you know, for me, my act, I want it to be anyway ultimately hopeful. And so if that's a through line, like, if whatever act that I'm working with, if that's similar, it doesn't have to be that, but, like, whatever it is. Or I've also done shows, I was very blessed to be part of a community that was a variety show called Mouth versus Mike. And it was started by a hip-hop performer, SD Elements, shout out to SD. And so most of the performers, or a lot of the performers, came out of that community, but the only thing that the mandate was, there's just, like, people that spoke into microphones. So sometimes it'd be like beatboxers, and so there would be b-boys and stuff too, b-girls, but often it was like spoken word and singer-songwriters and MCs. And then, because also comedians spoke speaking of mics, like now, you know, they ended up inviting some comedians, but that can be a really tough room if, like, you know, if you're following an MC with a dope DJ or something, yeah. And then you're like, well, I'm gonna, you know, just talk about...
I was gonna bring it back down now.
Like, sometimes I get, I'm so scared of stuff. But I was really blessed to be embraced by that community, which I always attributed to the fact that my act, or at least, you know, I would very deliberately choose to do material where I was very vulnerable because the other acts in the show were doing that. People going up and doing spoken word things, or they're doing very personal raps, and it was like a very high conscious style show. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think if I had gone up and there's very easy in comedy to create, like, the reason I got into comedy is to control how people laugh at me. You know, like, I'm just an insane control freak. And so it's, like, it's so easy to put up a wall with comedy. But so as I get older and I try more and more to be the opposite and just be open with it because it's a controlled environment. And I'm being very deliberate up there. It's very hard in natural life to cut down those barriers. But if I'm making a choice of what I'm trying to say, I can, like, consciously try. Be like, here's my soft insides.
Please don't poke them with the sharp stick.
Yeah, and you see that other people have done that before you in the show and nobody's gotten attacked, so it's good. It's
right.
Like, okay,
well, and it'd be like, you know, very, very unfair to watch them do that and then go be like, have you guys seen this fucking commercial? They'd just be insane.
It would really, really flip the tone, and I think people would probably be kind of, like, disappointed anyway.
Yeah, well, it's already tough to hold attention in a room like that because, you know, people, you know, as a musician, people can chat during music in a way that they don't always, you know, if you're... But so if that's kind of what's going on in the room, it can be tough to try.
Hold back and get them to stop fucking talking for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is really hard. We do... our New Year's party that we hold every year in the basement here.
Right.
We do comedy and music.
Right.
And I have to yell at people a lot.
For sure.
To shut the fuck up.
Well, that's such a tough night, too.
You know what? Like, once you get them to shut up, it's fine. Like, they just aren't aware that they're so audible. Like, because it's just things bounce off the wall down there, and it's just anything, anybody's chatting in the back, you can hear them, no problem. Mm-hmm. So I just be like, stop talking. And somebody got really mad at me for shushing them, but whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't even care. I totally still care.
But that sounds like a really amazing show. And so is that kind of that vulnerability, and you're saying the same through line, so having that when you're booking the lady show or other kinds of projects, so, like, what is the one kind of thing that ties people together?
Yeah, well, and the lady show is a great example. Like, we, just when we look for our guests in the lady show, you know, it is, or the... You know, we have, it's a comedy show, so fundamentally they have to bring comedy. Although we've had one musician who's wonderful, but our, you know, songs were funny as well. So really it is this, like, you know, we've created a show now and we have set up an expectation with our audience and an enormous amount of trust as well. I think that we're going to, like, take care of them and nothing's going to, we're not going to have a guest that is going to, like, just wildly upset anyone or these kinds of things. So they really just have to kind of be in line with our sort of philosophies, or just that we feel that, you know, we can trust them with this audience that we so admire and are grateful for.
I'm not going to put up Andrew Dice Clay or something like that.
Nah, I mean, if he's in town, like, he wants to.
I would love to see you do an Andrew Dice Clay impression on that.
My very dear friend, Kevin Banner, hilarious comedian.
Yes, he is very funny.
Years ago, I started doing this character called Katie Dice Clay, where he would just do my jokes
in his
as
voice?
Andrew Dice Clay.
I want to see this really a lot.
Yeah, it's very, very sweet. And it was like, these are my early on jokes, too. So now when he does it, it's like extra weird for me, extra funny. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot I even told that joke.
I like Kevin Banner. He is a funny, funny man.
Yeah, he's lovely.
Yeah, we like other comedians mostly. Mm-hmm. Mostly.
I just, I'm just liking the sort of through line that you've kind of presented for, like, this story today, I guess, where it was, like, looking at, like, being a tomboyish kid and, like, being super into athletics and then going into this, like, high femme with the roles and the whatever, and then kind of coming back to, like, finding a balance in between. Like, you still got, like, the weaponized femininity nailed.
That's
like,
right. Yeah.
How long have you been doing that for?
So many years now.
They are beautiful oval claws.
Thank you so much.
I'm scared of them a little.
Don't like, pull my I would eyes say, out. Yeah, I would say, God, like maybe a decade.
Holy shit.
I know.
A year for each nail.
Yeah, that's right.
That's think, very stupid.
No, I liked it. Every once in a while, you know, I take them off briefly. Mostly, the only impetus for ever taking them off has been, like, once a year I end up doing the drag character of mine.
What?
Oh, are you not familiar with Jaden Basie?
Oh, shit.
I don't know no Jaden Basie.
You gotta know Jaden.
I gotta know Jaden. Any friends with the other Jaden? Jaden Smith?
God, I wish.
I love Jaden Smith.
Me too. I think we got into this on Twitter
yes,
recently.
Yes, we did. Just like, I love him. I love his skirts. And everybody's like, he's stupid. That family's dumb. Like, eat my poo.
Yeah.
Literally eat my shit.
Goodness. I mean, the Pickett Smith children will lead us to the future.
Yes. Absolutely.
They are so beautiful, and I am just into them being themselves, yes. And just very lucky to get to bear witness to it.
Did you watch The Get Down?
No!
I love him in The Get Down. He's so good. He's like the sweet graffiti artist boy.
Oh, boy.
And just like big fro and big dreams. And then he goes to one party where it's like in Soho in the 60s or... No, it's not in the 60s.
Late When's 70s, that? Early 80s.
No, the show took place in like the late 80s, early 90s kind of thing. So it was just like very cool, gender bendy, like rainbow party. It was amazing.
Yeah,
so,
it's on my list of things to watch. But yeah, so I have a...
How are we spelling Jaden Basie?
Oh, the last name is up for debate. It's kind of
I just, it's such a douchey name.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's the only name he could have. Yeah, so it's a male comedian character that I do. And I usually end up doing it about once a year. And so I real commit, so I take the claws off.
I need to see this.
Sure.
Once a year, just randomly.
Can we talk to Jane?
No. We did, the last time Jaden played Vancouver was, during last year's JFL Northwest on Andy Kindler's alternative show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was a big coming out for us. It's very, very freeing and very cathartic to perform, because he was sort of born out of, when I was first starting comedy, I was very theatrical and precious, and I was not doing well at the clubs. But I was like, oh, if it was just this dickhead, I would destroy. So I kind of
so
like
be
made,
the dickhead.
Yeah.
You want to see in the world.
Yeah. And the longer I'm in comedy and the more things that frustrate me or the more bad comedy I see, the better Jaden gets.
It's like you're siphoning all of that terribleness and like turning it into a new little jewel that you can put out into the world.
Yeah.
Although, oh my God, there's so much inspiration for him now.
That's what I'm saying. So like with the more awful experiences I have and like the more awful people that I work with, the better his act gets. But ironically, so like when I sort of conceived this character, I was like, well, if I was just this character, I would destroy. And then like the first TV spot festival I ever got, I submitted a tape of Jaden, which is 100% why they phoned me. I didn't end up, like we were talking about that's what I would perform as. And would I like, you know, I think the writing and things of the character, but like it was looking very close, like he was gonna get on TV before I did.
Oh my God.
Which I thought was like too perfect. And I was like, yeah, and like at a certain point I'm just gonna go all in and be like, yeah, this is just who I am now.
It's this douchey boy.
Yeah. But it's also like it's so interesting. It's like one of those like contrived documentaries, like it's like Fat Like Me or whatever. Like I have this whole experience of now I'm in a green room as a dude. And I see, like, people who I casually know and things come back and just, like, all you just get a head nod and, like, and then late, it'd be much later in the night, someone would be like, oh, my God, I did not know that was you.
Holy
like,
shit.
Like, a fest person came back and they were just like, oh, I just thought you were someone up from L.A. And I was like, yeah, because that's what he looks like.
Holy shit.
And it's so freeing and no one ever expects any emotional labor from you and no one comes up to, like, run bits and no one asks you if you're okay. No one asks if you're mad at them or any of that shit. You're like, it's literally, like, all you get is, like, it's before your set and all you have to deal with is people being like, hey, man.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So fucking great. It's insane.
I actually like so helping people with their bits, or like if they want to run something by me, like, is this bad? Is it bad if I do this joke? I'm like, well, I'm glad you're asking me, because
you are the barometer for everyone. Like,
well, it's Jackie Hoffert gets the same thing. My twin, we look exactly identical, and there's no difference whatsoever between the two of us. Same fucking person. We've both been in the same place at the same time multiple times and still been mistaken for each other. But anyway, she and I were just like, yeah, both of us get a lot of guys asking, is this joke okay? And then it's never okay.
It's never okay.
And I'm like, it's not okay. And they're like, well, okay, I'm going to try it anyway. I was like, okay.
Why did we even do this then?
Just non-threatening queer joke consultancy. Business.
You should charge.
Esquire. Yeah. Well, hello. I want him. Like $5.
That's not that much.
That's very reasonable. I've been getting a lot lately of like, I'm not everyone's go-to for like, is this okay? And, you know, which I'm thankful of, but I'm getting like, especially when I'm on the road with someone, it's their like, hey, let me tell you, like, it's their take on this Me Too or white privilege or something like that. And I don't usually just have any reaction at all, because the whole time they're telling me the joke, internally I'm just getting frustrated and I'm battling the desire of like, it's not even a matter of whether it's funny or not, because I'm just like, well, I wonder if they want me to explain the concepts that they're clearly trying to tackle but they don't get. I'm not going to if they don't ask me to. I kind of want to.
Yeah.
But
that's going to open a whole other can of worms that, like, do we need to get into this and we're stuck in a car for, like, how much longer?
Kind of, because that's also not the thing. Like, they're getting the reaction of I'm not laughing, and they get that part. And that usually is kind of the whole conversation. That's usually enough. But I'm just kind of biting my tongue because I'm dying now, because I'm like, that's so simplistic.
Have you ever listened to a person?
Yes.
Have you ever? Ever really listened to a woman?
Yeah.
You listen to a woman. She's had it up to here with your shit in Bryan Adams' voice. Just picture it.
Nice. I like
that.
But that sounds so frustrating. Yeah. And it's like, so you're getting that, like, not necessarily to be the arbitrator, but then what do? Do you just, like, you have to swallow it down?
Just, like, their audience.
Well, yeah, and then, you also, you know, obviously then I don't laugh, and then they do, like, oh, okay. Like, okay. I get it, and you're like, oh, but you don't, like.
Oh, honey, you
don't. Just think that I don't think it's funny, but that's not a problem. It's like, you're funny. That I get, comedically, it works. It's got the right beats and things. Fundamentally, it is just wrong. So, it's not funny to me. Like, it's, like, 100% that joke will work. That joke will work at the club every time.
Mm-hmm.
It's...
That's because people are monsters.
Yeah, because I'm like, at best, it's not making things worse. That's, Jesus, like, the best great. It has going for it. But it's like, potentially, it is. Because it's an easy take, or it's a simplistic take, or it's like this, or like...
Yeah.
You know, or there's those little things where you're like, well, what I'm hearing, like, yeah. Oh, you think that that's just, like, silly... But what I'm hearing is you, like, even if it's, like, a really outlandish, silly concept, what I'm hearing is, like, oh, this is how women can prevent being assaulted.
Oh, God.
You know, you're like, oh, you think you've done this, like, silly thing.
Yeah, how about I disagree with your premise.
But that's it. It's like, but fundamentally, there's a thing in it where it's like, well, you're actually perpetuating a super dangerous idea. So.
I don't know how to explain to you that you should care about other people.
yeah, and they're not callous jokes. Usually, like, yeah. They never add anyone's expense. They're always just, they're simple. They just misunderstand a complex thing.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's, they think they care, but they've never actually tried to have empathy for somebody with a different life experience as them, because they've never been asked to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like it's never been demanded of them, and so when they ask other people to do this labor for them, they think it's like asking you to help them, like, move a couch or something like that. Like, of course I'll help you, I'm right here, why don't I do it? But they don't realize that you're getting asked this by a lot of different people, and
right.
That you've already had this exact scenario brought before you several times, and you've had to act like it's not a cat bringing you a dead squirrel. You're like, good job! Like, what are you even supposed to say? Because if you're not nice about it, they're like, oh, Katie's a bitch.
Oh, God, I wish.
You wish that they would just call you a bitch and leave you alone, or?
Yeah, I mean, that has been a real TSN turning point for me of late, that only recently have I, from being more outspoken in my act and just in general, definitely less people talk to me. And I'm sure at one time in my life that would have really bothered me, but now I just keep thinking, like, God, if I knew that you would just straight up ignore me, I would have been talking about being a feminist years ago. I mean, I wasn't years ago, so that's just not...
Yeah.
Can't rewrite history,
all, it all
like,
just evolves together, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But man, is it freeing.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a weird evolutionary thing where to start doing comedy because you want people to like you,
right,
or at least think you're cool and interesting and funny, like,
yeah,
or that, like, you're just so brave for going up there or whatever.
Oh my
like,
God.
That,
that's
Nick
my
says that to me
premise.
A lot. He's a fucking musician. He's always on stage. He's like, but I get to fucking sing. I don't have to, like, tell stories about myself. I was like, but you do. You riff the entire time. You're funny on stage. Like, you could do comedy, but please don't.
Sure.
Let me have this. Please let me have this. But he's like, it's just like, you're just so, like, impressive and brave. I was like, but I'm not frightened to go on stage. Like,
right.
It's not bravery if you aren't scared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that it's such a funny concept to me as well that, like, I love, comedians love to wear this mantle.
Like, I just speak the truth to power.
Yeah, we're like, we're just like, so night after night, just like front lines, so courageous.
Just grinding
you'd
it out.
You'd be like, we are so much less brave. Like, no, we are the opposite thing. And I mean, I guess I can only speak for myself, but it's like, absolutely not. So much less brave than most people. So, to the extent that I have created an entire scenario where I control every aspect of the interaction. I speak, you don't speak. I have planned what I'm going to say and rehearsed it many times in front of audiences just like you so that I know to the second what the reaction is going to be.
Oh my God.
This is not bravery.
No, it's a controlled environment.
Yeah.
That is very appealing to someone who likes to write and who likes to have control over things.
Like, certainly it's nerve-wracking and certain, and I've taken risks.
There's
and
pressure.
There's like, lots of things, but it's not... Yeah, it's not... And I have done some performances that I feel I have employed courage. Almost never are they traditional comedy.
Mm.
Things are usually some sort of different type of show where I had to do, like, a story or something. Mm-hmm. And it's been rare. Like, there's one or two instances that I can think of where it's like, yep, that was... That was courage. That was me showing my true heart in a way that was vulnerable. Especially in comedy where, like, even if I have a joke that is vulnerable, it's only vulnerable once. Maybe twice.
Yeah, and then you get used to
telling
it.
Then it's a bit.
Yeah.
And I'm distanced from it.
Yeah, that's an important distinction, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to get way more afraid.
We're like, and we're, yeah, it's like little, we're, I've not, like, as a community... Most comedians are just so, like, wildly afraid of what you think of them. And, like, that's where we're driven in this. Or, like, we have to control how you laugh at us and how you see us and all of these things, which is kind of the opposite. Like, it's cunning.
Oh, I agree. It's totally cunning, and it's such a good ruse that we're pulling over everybody.
Yeah.
Like, you think the jokes are the jokes. The joke is that I get to do this. And
one... thing that
and you think I'm impressive for it.
Oftentimes people are surprised to find that I am short because mm-hmm. there's no scale
on stage. Tall.
Yeah. And they'll say things like, oh, you project like a very tall person. Which
you project like your tits are way farther away from your belly button than they are.
Yeah. As if you have a body of some kind.
Like that your diaphragm's not just holding up your boobs.
Yeah. Which I think is so interesting, which I assume means that, like, because they also equate being tall with being confident.
Yes, yeah.
Pretty confident in my tallness.
Yeah. But I'm always just so, like, I don't know how to react. I'm like,
nope.
And it's the wee one.
It's just the wee one. I'm just a little baby.
Oh, I'm just a slip of a thing.
I'm just a sexy little baby.
Yeah.
I love your baby voice.
Oh, sex baby.
Sex baby. I love, yeah, you are, I like the notes that I've left for myself here, which are clowning? physical act out, which is just how I've observed your comedy. So my notes might be the funniest part of this. I was like, you're a really physical performer. Like, you contort yourself in ways that look really organic and natural, but, like, you must do them on purpose.
Now, you mentioned that earlier, that I was an animated performer, which I found surprising and was struck by.
Huh. You don't, like, walk the stage or anything, but you move yourself in ways, you use your hands, you move your shoulders a lot, you, like, make yourself little, you make yourself more like a kite, like you're just, like, you're sun saluting or something like that. And I love... You have a lot of fingering jokes.
I have a lot of fingering jokes.
Quite a few pictures of you.
Yeah.
Just them two fingies just crooked.
Yeah.
Those claws on the end.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, those ain't diddling fingers. I mean, they could be. You have to put, like, foam caps on top of them.
Yeah, yeah, listen, I'm trying to come up with workarounds, because I obviously don't want to get rid of them, but...
Just those foam earplugs, they're domed on the top. You could just, like, cut a little slit and just shook, shook over top.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ladies.
All the creative fingering solutions.
Ew, but what if they slipped off and then you just have an earplug in you now?
Just gotta go in after it.
But not to blow up your spot, but you compare poor fingering to, I believe, a squirrel with ADD or something like that, was it?
Oh, what is it with a
rabbit? Just scrabbling. Just scrabbling.
Rabbit squirrel trying to open a bag of chips.
That's the one. Yeah. It's so, and you, just the act out for it is so... But it's so, you have an economy of movement, which is why maybe you don't perceive yourself as a physical performer, but we've watched you a dozen times plus, and I've always been like, A, we always love it, and B, it's always like, man, she's the most exciting person on stage that whole evening.
It's funny, because a really good back bend.
I was like, I do not move my feet very much.
Mm-hmm. You don't need to.
And I think partly because I also used to wear, like, very high heels on stage. Because that was the thing that
You look really tall.
Yeah, well, and it made me feel confident. but yeah, you can't...
Being farther from the ground means you like yourself more, I guess.
But I do move in a vertical space a lot. I equated it recently to, like, one of those used car dealership... blow up guys, and kind of like, because I do
noodly arm guys.
Yeah, I move forward a lot, and I do back bends and things like that, and sides, but my feet are, like, very rooted.
Yeah.
But I like that.
And I love it.
I don't have to follow you around so much, which can be exhausting to watch someone go
it
from one end
be.
To the other.
Especially if there's no purpose.
Yeah, it's like a really small stage or something.
Yeah.
I can imagine trying to do that on the stage at the Old Crow Comedy Show, which is just two pallets stacked on each other. You get... a meter.
I will say that the back bend that I do in jokes got a lot better when I was doing a lot of hot yoga.
Oh, yeah.
So much more bending. You get that extra oomph in the SI joint just lubed up.
Yeah.
So good.
But then when I'm not doing yoga, that joke can be kind of dangerous. You gotta, like, not go...
You gotta make sure there's, like, a pommel horse
not go
you.
With, like, such gusto. Or, like, just really, like, gotta hold my core and tighten stuff and be like, don't hurt yourself.
You'll accidentally do a death drop
dummy.
On stage. Yeah. Don't want to do that. That's, I was performing at the Dirty Penny where there was it was a drag show, and there someone did a death drop onto a pile of icing sugar in front of me. I was like, how old are you? And the queen was like, oh, I'm 23. I was like, that's why you can still do that.
Oh my God. Have never seen someone do that in real life, only on video.
It was pretty poorly done.
Okay. Thank God. Because it blows my mind that, like, when I see someone on video, it's like, how?
Are you familiar with the death drop?
I've seen that, yes. I remember in, like, drama class in high school learning how to fall,
like,
properly.
Pratfall, yeah.
Right. Where, like, and I learned that in, like...
From clowning class.
No, just from, like, high school.
Right.
But then also in Aikido, when I did Aikido for, like, 2 months, like, it's the same motion of, like, you hook your leg behind and you do the collapse.
Amazing.
But that's, like, it's a pretty good dramatic falling gesture, but then you're catching yourself, like, the whole way, and as long as you scooch one arm, like, extremely dramatic Blanche DuBois, like, across the top... Then it looks totally fine. People don't notice that you're also supporting yourself with your lower body all the time.
Like a magician.
Yeah. Can you be named Blanche if you're not both horny and Southern?
No.
Yes. My grandmother's name was Blanche.
Was she both horny and Southern?
I mean,
how many kids did she have?
She was not Southern.
Blanche is such a good Nana name.
I know. It was her middle name, too. Her first name was Madeline, and she didn't like it, and she always went by Blanche, which to me is...
So much of an old lady name.
I know.
But Madeline is now popular.
That's true. Although also, all of her family called her Daisy, because they're adorable.
It's complicated.
Yeah, for sure. They all had the many nicknames.
Was it possible that she was a criminal? These are all
That's a joke I used to make. I was like, she has too many AKAs. She is clearly on the lam.
She's running a con. She's a confidence man.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that that was what con was short for. I thought that was just convict. Like, right. Con man, it's confidence man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody who has so much confidence that they can just sell you anything.
Mm-hmm. That makes you have confidence in them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that what you've been doing this whole time?
Oh yeah, I'm on the long con. I'm gonna grift you so hard.
Consider me grift. Grift. I'm float tanking and grift.
Speaking of hot yoga, I do want to go to a hot yoga class. So
I thought you were saying probably... you did.
I did yesterday, but I'm gonna go today too.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You're a nerd.
Yeah, I kind of love it. So
How long are we into this?
We've already been like over an hour. Like,
what? Well, over an hour, feels like 20 minutes has passed to me.
It's long. Amazing. So that's maybe we can put a little button on this.
Okay.
For 100. Now.
Wait, what else is on your?
Oh yeah, yeah.
We wanted to talk about the hustle. You kind of talked about that a little bit, where it's like you push yourself pretty hard to work. It just seems like every day you're hustling.
Every day
you have
I'm hustling.
A full-time job too.
Yeah, I have like a 3/4 time job. Yeah, I keep a steady income job. Just
you kind of gotta.
Kind of gotta.
I wrote up grown up child on here because like that's how I feel. Sometimes I feel like very, like a babe in the woods when confronted with the world at times. But I'm also just I have all my shit together. Like it's all there. I feel like my life is blown apart right now. I'm like in crazy times personally.
Mm-hmm.
My laundry is done. My dishes are put away. Like I just when everything else is falling apart, I need to have that adult boring routine.
Yes.
And when you talk about getting up early and being excited about doing a morning show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so, yeah.
I don't mean like a morning radio show. Obviously, you would never be excited about that, but...
No.
But like getting up to go to a rave at 6 o'clock in the morning. I probably am not that hardcore, but,
yeah.
But I like an early start. Like I like to get, I like to be fresh in the morning. I like if somebody wants to start something at like 8 o'clock, I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Oh, I mean, I won't be fresh. I hate showering, but like I'll be there at 8.
You're going to be real funky. You're going to be a stinky boy.
No, you'll never know. You'll never know I don't shower if I didn't tell you. Which I will all the time. I don't know why. I should stop telling people.
Can you see my grease layer?
No.
Am I shimmering like a puddle in the sunlight?
I tend more towards dryness.
Let's just leave it with that.
Oh, you know, I think
air horns out.
Thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thanks for having
Episode
me.
100.
Try to keep me away.
I would like to have you back for more chats.
I have already, obviously, invited myself back.
Well, perfect. We have.
See you in another 100.
You'll be our 200. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Perfect.
Anything, this is going to come out next week. Is there any things coming up? Is the Lady Show back for a little while? You guys are on hiatus?
Yeah, Lady Show will be back.
JFL.
We are doing JFL Northwest on March 8th, International Women's Day.
The same night as Lord.
Oh, whoa!
I have tickets for that.
I'm going to be in England because I'm dumb.
It's a big, big conflict. That's okay. Yeah. I will not hold it against you. That's so dope. Anyway, for those of you who do not have Lord tickets or Anthony Jeselnik tickets, please. I don't think there's an enormous amount of.
There's Jeselnik no crossover.
Yeah, I know.
Zero overlap.
I know. Anyway, so yeah, you can go to jflnorthwest.com to get your Lady Show tickets, which are on sale now. And also do check out the rest of the lineup. The festival is incredible.
It's so good, and I'm so mad I'm missing it.
Yeah, it's really, really great. And you can keep track of me. Best way is on Twitter. Where I'm at Ms. Katie Ellen, MSKATIEELLEN.
Yeah, and you can follow John Norgren on Twitter too if you want to.
Do it.
He'll like everything you ever say and you'll feel very supported.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Yeah.
Anything coming up for you next week?
I'm doing a. No, this is going to come out after. I'm done doing a that benefit. I'm doing a benefit. Food. I don't know what it's actually for.
Oh, yeah. So this comes out next week, right?
Yeah.
So on the Friday of next week, February 15, I am emceeing a big show.
It's Thursday, isn't it? The 15th is a Thursday.
Yep. Thursday. Thursday, for sure. For sure Thursday. But anyway, the 15th, emceeing a show at the Rio Ooh. Ooh. That is like a, I think it's kind of like an anti-Valentine's Day. Don't tell them that I love Valentine's Day. It's on the deal. but it was a great lineup. Shirley Gnome is headlining. There's Melanie Mangler, a burlesque performer.
Oh, she's really good.
Super dope. Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of great performers on that one. So
and you're hosting it?
I believe so.
Nice. That's really cool.
Yeah.
You'll be your great choice for that.
Thank you. But yeah, that, I said it was at the Rio, it's at the Rickshaw. Pretty sure.
That's even bigger.
Nice.
Bigger, yeah. Be dope, kind of.
That'll be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. I and I'm on actual Valentine's Day at the Foxhole, so.
Nice. Great. I forgot that this was, coming out right before Valentine's Day. And you like Valentine's Day.
It's coming out on my birthday.
Ooh, what's your birthday is?
February 13th.
Oh.
Brilliant. That's really cool. My birthday is March 1st. It's close.
That's actually a really nice little birthday girl.
Right?
Birthday girl. Perfect.
Excellent. Well, we'll talk about Valentine's Day another day because I kind of like it too and then also hate it for reasons.
I'm indifferent to it completely.
It's a fun.
If somebody wants to buy me a bunch of shit though just to prove that they love me, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Send it to cheehagspodcast@gmail.com.
And say that this is not for Chris. This is definitely for Katie.
Oh, send me stuff too.
No, just me.
Please.
Yes, ma'am.
Stop rummaging in your box.
I'll do what I want in my box. Thank you very much.